I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
At the beginning of every episode, there will always be time for an acknowledgement. You know, the more we do this, people ask, why do you have to do the acknowledgement in every episode? I gotta tell you, I've never been more grateful for being able to raise my babies on a land where so much sacrifice was made. And I think what's really critical in this process is that the ask is just that we don't forget. So the importance of saying these words at the beginning of every episode will always be of utmost importance to me and this team. So everything that we created here today for you happened on Treaty 7 land, which is now known as the center part of the province of Alberta. It is home of the Blackfoot Confederacy, which is made up of the Siksika, the Kainai, the Piikani, the Tsuut'ina First Nation, the Stoney Nakoda First Nation, and the Métis Nation Region 3. Our job as humans is to simply acknowledge each other. That's how we do better, be better, and stay connected to the good. Welcome back. Welcome in, you amazing humans. I cannot tell you about what your buckle up is all I can say today. This is probably, if you asked me, you know, what kind of guests are you going to have? Who would be your, you know, dream experience in this first year of podcasting? I would say, although I love scientists and neuroscientists, I just interviewed a professor from Harvard. And now today, listen to me. Chatel is a psychic medium, professional certified astrologer, grief support counselor, and a law of attraction master coach. That's who you get to sit with today. While she also has a business degree and comes from a corporate background, her heart has always been helping people. Chatel now teaches women how to strengthen and trust their intuition, overcome grief, self-sabotage, and obstacles to live a life of passion and purpose that sets their soul on fire, without a question of a doubt. And here's the thing, friends. I was speaking at a conference not very long ago. Chatel's story was the master of ceremonies, the mistress of ceremonies, the person who orchestrated the whole day. And I have to say, I mean, when I am on a stage, I'm always like, okay, what's next? What's next? What's next? And I don't really know what's happening around me. And this woman was so warm and kind and connected and just really assured of what she was going to do during that day. We had this beautiful experience of going that evening, which we often don't do, at having a speaker's dinner. And so we sat around and the other women that were there said, oh, I really hope Chatel comes tonight. I really hope Chatel brings her cards. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? What do you mean she's going to bring her cards? Okay. Now, I historically very much want to be in the woo-woo world. I feel like I'm a spiritual person. I think that the energy of doing therapy is very spiritual. I am taken by people who are really sound and steadfast in an understanding that there is a higher power, a connection to the spiritual world. And when this woman floated into the room that night, she said, guys, I'm really exhausted. I didn't bring the cards. Let's just, you know, I'm just going to connect and, you know, let's have something to eat. And then 3 hours later, I was bawling and I connected to a kid that I had. He's a son. And then I was drawing a sheet with some of my past, present, and future. I left there saying to Marty, I do not know what is going to happen in our world, but we are going to be connected to that woman for the rest of our lives. And she Well, I'm lucky enough to bring her to you today. So she tells story. Welcome to the Everyone Comes From Somewhere podcast.
Thank you for having me. Wow, that is an intro. I've been on a lot of podcasts, and that is like the best intro I've ever received. Thank you. And I could just see as you're channeling that from your heart, you know, from your true experience. And I think that's why I love you so much. You're just so authentic, you know, and to anyone who's listening, if you think like, is Dr. Jodi like this in real life? Oh my God, she could be a comedian in real life. She's so funny, so authentic, so warm. And yeah, you know, everything she said is true, you know, in terms of how we connected and what happened that magical night. It was, I looked at my cards and I went, no, I'm not going to bring them. I brought them to Jasper and I'm like, no, I'm not going to bring them tonight. I'm way too tired. I'm just going to be present and just listen and soak up all the goodness of all these amazing women in this room. And, you know, I could feel the expectation. I mean, being an intuitive, a psychic, I can feel the energy when I step into a room. I could feel I was the last one to the party and I stepped in and I could feel everyone's expectations. It was almost like a breath being held, you know, and as I took my food and I'm looking around, I'm feeling a little intimidated. And I just took my spot actually next to you. Right. Yeah. And I was, you know, eating and listening to all the amazing stories and information that was being shared. And I was like thinking to myself, how lucky am I to be here? And then Ashley said, you know, the creator of that conference said, Chitelle, did you bring your cards? And all the noise stopped in the room. Like everybody was quiet and looking at me, including, you know, the keynotes. You were the Canadian keynote. There was a US keynote and they were looking. And I was like, I have to be strong. I have to be strong. I was like, I cannot bring my cards because I am so tired. I've been on stage all day. But, you know, if you guys want to, you know, have a little fun, we can do an intuitive game. And it's a game that I teach in my intuition classes when I used to teach them in person. And it's so profound because, you know, you just think you're just doing this fun little, you know, drawing exercise. And then we, you know, shuffled it and gave it out and everybody read each other without knowing they were doing it. And then I was able to collect them all back again and do the readings for each person while using your, you know, your intuitive hits and then, you know, amplifying that. And everybody, I was just like, well, I mean, the first one, she, you know, it, we hit on such
people
a
people are balling. And
it was like, so honestly deep. Yeah, it was amazing. And by the end of it, I just felt like it was like this family that's come back together again, you know, in the forest, in this like sacred land. I was like, I could not have dreamed this up. You know, thank you, spirit. Thank you, my soul and everyone else's soul here, that we were able to reconnect in this beautiful way in this lifetime. Like I just felt, yeah, I left there feeling the same. I'm like, wow, nothing's
so
the
cool
same.
So let's slow it down. I want to take you back a little bit. You know, I often talk a little bit about, you know, on this podcast, it is the idea that I know to the core of me that we're all way more alike than we are different. And maybe most importantly, the difference between empathy and judgment often lies in understanding where another comes from. So tell me, Chitelle, where do we start with you? Where do you come from? Where does this, has this gift always been in you? I want to hear about how this little girl became this amazing human.
Oh, I the first answer that came to mind as I was listening to your podcast and getting ready for this is, you know, where do you come from? And the first thing that came up from my soul was, I come from my mother's womb. And, you know, my mom is, you know, Malaysian East Indian who immigrated to Canada in 1970, you know, in the 70s, and met my dad who had immigrated from India. And, you know, the rest they say is, you know, history. And I came along shortly after. So they got married pretty quickly and they were trying to sort each other out, you know, being married so quickly. They came from such different backgrounds that I came into the picture and became like, my mom said she birthed her best friend, which, you know, is a good thing. And it can be not a good thing because I became the rescuer, the savior, you know, the savior in my family. My mom's a strong Scorpio, like make no mistake about that. But she's intuitive as well. She's a spiritual healer. And then from my family, like one of my cousins is also a medium, but it's scary in Malaysia because there's a lot of, I'm going to say like darker things associated with it and like hexes and curses and things like that, that are kind of thrown around in that culture that for him, he just would rather just be, you know, present, be a father, be his thing. And so whenever I come to visit with him, he's always like, tell me about your journey. What can you do? What are you helping people with? Because that feels like it's not a reality for him. And then we have a great grandfather who used to be the healer for his village in India, in southern India, where people would come far and wide to get healing from him. And they said that he had God in him. He had the healer in him. So before he passed away, he had to give that to someone else and pass that to another young healer that was coming up in the community, and passed on his gift, and then he was able to pass. So my mom always tells me the story that she now has the gift as well, and she'll have to pass it to someone when she passes away, and she doesn't think it's me. So that's like, I have my own gifts. So she's like, you know, like asking my kids, do you want to be a healer? Do you want to be a healer? My mom has an accent, so every time I, you know, flip into her, you'll hear the accent come out. But yeah, and then my kids are like, no, I don't want this. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to grow up in that way.
Yeah. That's where I want to start with. Like, you know, did you always know? And really, I guess I want to know that. And I also want to know, what exactly do you know? What is the difference between things like, what's the definition of spirit? What is a psychic or a medium? And you know, again, this is now 1,000 questions that you can take wherever you want. But, you know, why are people so, I'm going to speak for myself, I'm so skeptical in this space. I'm spiritual, yet so skeptical. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, you don't fucking know. You're just making shit up. Oh, do you see your grandma? I bet everybody sees their grandma. But I got to tell you, I felt you so differently in that space, because you don't, here's the thing. She doesn't care when she's just telling you what she feels. And if it fits for you, fantastic. There's no fishing to see, is it, do you feel? So can you take me, I guess, first of all, on that journey in the beginning, how did you know, how does anybody know that, you know, there's a difference between just being spiritual versus actually having a gift that would be psychic abilities or medium abilities? And what do those mean?
So when we are born, like, we are so, you know, we are, so I want to go back to incarnation. You're a little energetic spirit having this human experience. And when you come into being, you know, from a psychological standpoint, this baby is just taking in its environment and trying to create safety with its parents, right? So right. It's like the most psychic you'll ever kind of be, because you're just taking in the energy of your environment and you're following your inner joy, whatever that is, right? Whatever makes you laugh, babies will laugh, you know, and babies will cry when they need support. And so what happens over time is you stop listening to that inner voice, because the outer voices are so loud, right? Don't cry, don't be angry, don't say no to me, you know, don't be too sensitive. I hear that a lot, especially from, you know, the rural folks here in Canada, you know, like, pull yourself up, get over it. And so you stop listening to that inner environment, and that is the inner environment, is your intuition. So we're all born with intuition. I'm not special. You know, you're born with intuition. So I know you're hella psychic. And there's this, you know, this intuition piece is like, we can feel energy around us. We're like little radio antennas, right? We pick up our environment. So, and this shocked me. I learned this a few years ago, is that if you're, very empathic, you're an empath, you're a highly sensitive person, or you're deeply intuitive, you grew up in a volatile home. Because you so had to keep your feelers out to make sure everything was just so, you know, that everybody was good, you know, that no one was angry or no one was going to yell or no one's going to throw something or, you know, even violence, which I'm so grateful I didn't come from a violent home, but I did come from a home where there was a lot of anger management and undiagnosed, you know, ADHD and things like that, that led to a lot of volatility in my early childhood. So that then became a very sensitive child. And so I then learned how to hold the emotions of others and tell when someone was disappointed in me or someone had a bad day, so I could tiptoe around or be the nice person. And so that made me really nice, right? I fawn when I'm in that stress, you know, response. And I'm really considerate and I'm really kind. And I'm also very intuitive. I can feel when I disappoint people. So that intuition, you know, we all come by it honestly. We all have it. But to the degree you're allowed to feel it and allowed to, you know, live in that space, or that you needed to, you know, because it was safety, that creates this intuitive human. Now, as we get older, we can, a lot of times, especially women, will find me at the time that they're coming back to reconnection of self, because they're like, they're wanting to connect more with their intuition. So as a child, I was very, very intuitive. I could feel things. And I also saw spirit at an early age. So we, at a very early age, it's almost like we can sort of see across the veil, as they say, the spirit world and the energy world that's right here. Like, you're just like, I want you to go, okay, I'm going to just pause that for a moment. I'm going to go back. When you were born, You're an energetic being having this human experience. There's an energy that beats your heart.
An energetic being having a human experience. I really love that. Okay.
Because there's an energy that beats your heart that is keeping you alive. We call that vitality or your bioplasma field in science or your electromagnetic field. So there's an energy that emanates from all living things. And we can actually take a picture of that. We can see that in science. And when you take your last breath, that energy is gone. It's not in this body anymore. It's not in this vessel. And if you've sat with somebody, you know, this is the knowing piece, is if you've ever sat with someone who's crossed or who is passing away, you can feel that that energy is no longer in their body. You don't even have to open your eyes. You just know that they're not there anymore. The room feels different, right? That's energy of being. And so that energy of being, it, where does energy go? It cannot be created or destroyed. It just transcends into another form, which it now moves into the world of spirit. And the world of spirit is energy that we just cannot perceive with our five, you know, senses. We just don't have the ability to see past a certain spectrum. You know, we can only hear within a certain spectrum. Even dogs can hear things that we can't hear.
Right. Right. Yes. Yes.
We live in a world that we only can perceive such a small portion of it. So spirit is here, like heaven is here. You know, there's no such thing as heaven or hell. It's just the other side. It's the transition into the spirit world. So the spirit world, I was born with that ability. So we all have the ability to feel our own loved ones in spirit, right? They're tethered to you by love forever. So you will feel your loved ones in spirit forever. You might feel like you're thinking about them and you get this little shiver, or you can feel them sit on the bed at night, or you can just feel them around you sometimes, but we always doubt it, right? Oh, I had a dream, but that was weird. I'm like, was it though? Can you tell me about the dream? And as they start to unfold the dream, they're like, it felt different. And I said, that's a visitation. So in essence, I just give people permission to listen to themselves. You know, that's,
I love that. Permission. Give permission. And I would imagine she'd tell that in today's age, in this lifetime, in even this generation, our generation, people are so desperate for that permission, because even being able to sit with stillness is so scary for people. I would imagine, because we're constantly inundated with data that just really suppresses the things that we might not be comfortable with or familiar with, right? So we just want to keep it busy, keep it busy, keep it busy. And I bet that permission has got to just be a beautiful thing to observe.
It is, because when you're just validating their experience, right? When I first came out of the closet as a psychic medium, after, like, I'm going to skip over a lot of the story, but when I came out of the closet, you know, in my 30s, I was still working my corporate job, and I would be doing these food shows. I was in food sales, and I was doing these food shows, and people would know what I did. And so they'd be like, Chitel, can I talk to you behind the curtain? Can I talk to you over there? You know, I just need to talk to you about something. I'm like, oh, sure. Is there something? Do you want to know something about a product? And they're like, no, I got to tell you about my dream. Or I think my house is haunted, or I missed my person so much who's in spirit. Can you tell me they're here? And I'm like, I'm sorry, it doesn't work like that. I'm selling beef right now, but can I get back to you on that? But it's really interesting. So that mediumship ability, I had it, that ability to, you know, feel your own spirits. We all have that. I'm not special that way. But where I have a gift that others don't have is that I have the ability to see your dead people. So I'm just not seeing my own. I have the ability to see for everyone. And I'm a channel then for people who are, you know, have crossed over into the spirit world that need to give a message or need to, you know, let them know they're here or give comfort, you know. And that's where I went into my grief counseling, because I was seeing so many people that needed comfort. And I knew how to say it, but I wanted more tools to support them, you know, from the psychological standpoint. So that, you know, I had that ability as a kid. And being an East Indian in Canada, you know, in Edmonton, I really did not want to stand out, right? I just wanted to be like everyone else. I'm obviously very much, you know, not, you know, a beautiful white woman. And at that time, you know, I just wanted to fit in, and all the, you know, the boys had crushes on these beautiful blonde, blue eyed, you know, little girls. And I just was always, you know, kind of bullied. And so I just wanted to fit in. And when I realized I had this gift and others didn't, we were actually walking to school. I lived pretty close to the school where I where I went to, and we were walking with the neighborhood kids, and these swings were swinging. It was like a swing set, and they were swinging, and there was like an old man on the swing set. He looked pretty disheveled. And I was like, ooh, look at that creepy guy. And everyone's like, what are you talking about, Chutel? There's nobody on the swings. It's just the wind. And you look, and I looked back, and the guy was gone, and the swings are swinging, but the one he was on was going higher than the rest. Like, it didn't look normal. And I'm like, nobody saw that? And they're like, Chutel, what did you see? What are you talking about? I'm like, nothing. I didn't see nothing. I didn't.
Yeah, and just joking.
That was the moment I noticed I was different. And so I came home, and I used to get really bad nightmares, and I was really scared because my mom loves horror movies. And so, you know, if you see a child and child sees spirit, they're not scared. It's just a, you know, loved one in spirit. Like, my grandfather would come to visit, but I didn't know it was my grandfather because he died way before I was born. And my mom took me to see Poltergeist when I was little, thinking I would just see it's the tomato soup. It's not real, right? But I was like five. I was freaked out. And so after that, that colored all of my thoughts. That colored all of my experiences. This felt scary now. So, you know, in terms of the skeptics and the people who are scared of it, there's something that's colored that experience, because it wasn't meant to be scary. It was actually my grandfather coming to visit me in my dreams, but I was just always like, who's this guy in a white suit? Get away. And then later, many years later, I moved away for my work and married my husband, and I'd come back to visit, and my mom and dad had moved into a new place, and they have, in Hindu culture, we have the dead people wall, where we put up all the pictures of all the dead people in our family to honor them in our God room, they call it, but in where you go to pray. So you're kind of bringing in your ancestors. And so it's not scary in my culture, right? To like have your loved ones around. And I saw my mom's dad. I'm like, who is this guy in the white suit? And my mom's like, that's my dad. I'm like, he came to my dreams like every night when I was little, but I didn't know who he was. You know, I thought he was like the guy in Poltergeist. And I was like, oh my God, you know, I freaked me out. So it all worked out, because at the age of nine, you know, I was like, I don't want these dreams. I don't want to see dead people anymore. I don't want any of this. I just want to be normal. And my mom said, okay, you know, you can just close the door on the top of your head. Just close it and say, I'm not available anymore. And I don't want this right now. And she's like, you just put it to sleep. And I'm like, okay, just like that. She's like, just like that. I remember sitting in the kitchen table talking to her about that. And I'm like, okay, that's it. I don't want this anymore. And I'm closing the door, and no one can talk to me. And I was never contacted by spirit again until I had my second child.
Wow. So did you invite it back in, Chutel, or do you think that it was just, it was a time, and you,
it was the time. Yeah, it was time. And so it was interesting, because in my heart, Jodi, I always felt like I wanted to help people. I wanted to do something. And I tried, you know, volunteering for Elizabeth Fry Foundation. I tried getting into charities and stuff, and it just never really worked. Like, I couldn't make enough money to pay my bills. But every time I went into corporate and doing things with, like, I have a business degree, so I fell into amazing jobs where I was making people a lot of money, but I never really felt that, like, fulfilling. I always had these wonderful relationships underneath where I would counsel people and help them, you know, through their things. And then it was my second child was born. And so that was 12 years ago, 13 years ago, he's 13 now. And I went back, I was actually still on maternity leave, and my aunt had come to visit from Texas, and her and my uncle used to live in Calgary. He passed away suddenly. And she just decided, you know what, this is now my time to do all the things, because I'm still here with them. They were deeply in love, and I'm going to go live with my sons in Texas and help them with their kids. She was a daycare worker and immigrated from India. Lovely lady. So she'd come up and visit from time to time. And she came up to visit when I was on maternity leave, you know, meet the baby and hang out with my mom. And they came over for tea one day, and she's like, oh, I want to look something up on your iPad. Can I borrow it? And my mom's like, oh, I don't know how to use iPad. I don't know. And she was like scrolling through the iPad. I was like, wow, she's pretty adept at it. And then all of a sudden my uncle appeared behind her, and she said, isn't she smart? And she's beautiful, and she's smart too. And I was like, those are not my woman, you know, my aunt is a lovely woman, but I would not like call her beautiful, but it was her, like, I mean, she's beautiful, sure, you know, I mean, there was a time I'm sure she was, you know, whatever. And I was just like, that is not my words. Like, I 100% know those are not my
words.
You weren't
thinking in your head in that moment, how we do sometimes, you know, when we look at people and we just think stunning or wow or whatever. You were thinking something very different, like that she is very adept at that, but your thought wasn't, what a gorgeous human.
No.
And so this word, this thing appeared and you were like, doesn't fit with what just was happening in my head. Okay.
Not at all. And then even to see him there, I was like, I wasn't even thinking of him. And, you know, or that, oh, you know, she's now back. And like, I wasn't thinking about him at all. And there he was. And he's like, you know, she's beautiful and she's smart too. And he kind of winked and he disappeared. And I was like, did I just, am I in a cartoon? Like, what is happening? And my mom was sitting like directly behind him. And I'm like, Mom, did you just see anything? And Mom's like, no, you know, what's happening? And I was like, nothing. Nothing. And it was funny because in that moment, everything from my childhood had kind of flooded back. It was almost like it was compartmentalized.
Wow.
And
you closed the door.
Yeah, I closed the door, but to all of it. Like, I actually became super scientific after that. I wanted to be a pediatrician to help babies. Before then, I wanted to be a designer. Like, I wanted to do clothing and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? To shut off that creative side of your brain, I went so linear logical. I didn't realize it in the moment, right?
Sure.
That was even happening. So in that moment, you know, my mom and my aunt, like, I just kind of sitting there kind of freaked out. And I was like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, okay. And then they went back to my parents' house. And after I called my mom, I was like, wait, this thing happened. You know, I don't know what to do. And I was like, you should ask auntie. You should ask auntie. And I was like, I don't know. You know, this is weird. What, like, I'm not Teresa Caputo all of a sudden. Like, what is this? You know, like, because I loved watching her. And it was so interesting because I used to watch her and thank God she's making a difference. She's helping people heal from death. And I was just like, this is so important. This is important work. Like, I want to do something that's important like this. And so I'm like, is this what's happening right now? No, it can't be. And so the next day we had tea at my mom's house and my mom said, tell auntie. And I was like, okay, auntie, this is what happened. You know, uncle appeared behind you. I don't know if I'm starting to see spirit, but he said, you're smart and you're beautiful. I'm like, do you know what that means? And she kind of teared up and she looked at me and said, he told me I was beautiful every day that we were married for 50 years. He told, and it's not really normal for, like, you know, East Indian men to be romantic like that, you know? And so it was really interesting. He said he told her that she was beautiful every day of their life together. And I said, what about the smart thing? And my mom's like, do you know what she does? And I was like, well, yeah, she's a daycare worker. She came here, you know, she started to work with children when she immigrated to Canada. Her sons had already been in university and great with children. She's just a lovely woman. And my mom said, do you know what she did when she was in India? And I went, no, I just assumed she worked with children. My mom said, she's an astrophysicist. She worked on the India space program. And I'm like, nobody's told me that. Oh my God.
So he did. He was like, somebody needs to know.
Yes.
Wow.
So there was no way I could know any of that, right, Dr. Jody? Like, I was just like, okay, there's something here that I need to start to uncover. And then I went back from maternity leave. And then all of a sudden, all these experiences started to happen that, again, I couldn't make up. And I couldn't, you know, find out, like, why. I was actually trying to see a psychologist. I went to see an eye doctor because I thought I was seeing auric fields because something's wrong with my eyes. He's like, no, you're normal. I'm like, okay. And then I was getting headaches. And so I went to see a neurologist and she's like, no, you don't actually have, you know, the markers for migraines, but if you need something, we'll give you, but your brain's normal. And I was like, okay, I guess it's not that, you know? So I was like,
shoot.
Like, is this me? I don't know. Is this real? And it was so interesting. At that time, a friend of mine was going to see this world-renowned astrologer that lived in Edmonton. And she's like, you need to go see Chris. Like, she's amazing. She can help you with this, sort this out. So I was like, okay, I got an appointment with this amazing woman who is like 82 years old, used to proctor exams all around the world, been on chairs, every board of astrology committees everywhere. And she lives in Edmonton. I was like, this is craziness. Like, how is this world renowned person live in Edmonton? I went to see her and I was like, I'm tight lipped. Like, I won't tell you nothing about me, right? Especially if you're a psychic.
Let's see what you got. Okay.
Yes.
Me too.
I'm a skeptic too.
I'm going to test you. I'm not telling you nothing. You guess.
I'm a skeptic too, right? Like, it's people that laugh when they say that. Like I say, I'm like, I'm a skeptic too. I need to see your you know, proof of your credentials here.
Show me your chops.
Yeah. So she looked at my chart and, you know, she had her big glasses on. She looked at me above her glasses. She's like, what did you say you do? And I said, I'm a sales rep in the food industry. And she's like, no. What do you really do? It's like, I see dead people. And she's like, yep. That makes sense. And here's why that makes sense. And here's what you're going to do. And here's where things are going to go. But you have the ability to do anything you want. And you have, it's up to you. And I was like, you see all that in the chart? And then she told me things about my childhood. She told me things about my body. And I was like, I need to know this magic sauce. I don't know what this is, this hieroglyphics on a page, but I need to know. And I learned from this amazing woman for 8 years. I certified under her with the association that she was with. And she passed away in 2021. And at the age of 93. So I got her in her, like, her prime years, still teaching and driving and doing all the things. And I'm just like, she's on my spirit team. She comes to visit all the time, especially when I do astrology. So it's like, I help people using their astrology and human design as well to live authentically, you know, to help them with what's happening for the year ahead. What are these themes that are coming up? But ultimately we have free will. Right? I could say you've got this amazing opportunity coming up to write a book. But if you're like, I'm not writing the book, I'm freaking burnt out right now, the opportunity will come back in another way at another time. Right? So it's up to you whether you say yes now or yes later. But the yes is, it's coming, right? All roads lead to the same direction. And I hear that so much from my clients. They're so scared that they're not making the right choice. They're not saying yes or no in the right. I'm like, no, you can't screw this life up. You really can't.
Oh my gosh. That is so cool.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
And I, you know, I know that you do, you know, intuitive 101 courses. I know that, you know, this is now your offering to the world, that you guide people if they're willing to sort of engage in this process, and you're booked until the end of time. But I'm most interested in, you know, a couple of things, I guess, is what is one of the things that you teach people if they really want to get back to this sense of just listening, of just stillness, of just reconnecting, whether you believe it or not? Like, what is that sort of thing that in this very busy, loud, noisy world, that you tell people the most about, that sense of just getting back in touch with your core, your center?
I think where people come to find me, especially to start learning about their intuition, as we sort of talked about Intuition 101, and it's the guise of like, oh, I want to be more intuitive. I want to harness this intuition, you know, thing. Like, do I have it? How do I use it in my daily life? And what I do over the course of 4 weeks is help you to really understand how you receive information, what those nudges feel like for you. How do you interpret what you're receiving and or becoming aware of, more so? But that when we sit in the seat of the soul and we start to listen to our inner story as opposed to the outer story, you know, the inner nudges, we start to allow things to come up. You know, the soul's language is emotion. And so when we listen to the emotions that are coming up within, it will tell us where we're out of alignment or we're in alignment. And, you know, this is where I think the spiritual community kind of gets this wrong, because it's the goal is not to be in positivity and happiness and joy and alignment all the time. The story is that we need to understand where we're not in alignment and the lesson that is teaching us to then move forward in the next part of our journey. So that's why grief is like, it's so powerful. Like, it's one of my favorite things to talk about, because you're, and you know as well as I do, you're not the same after grief moves through your life. It's meant to change you. It's a soul evolver. And so when we look at that from a spiritual perspective, you know, that grief, what is it bringing into our lives, but also being able to sit in the sea of the soul and just hold yourself as though that grief is moving through. And I get to hold you with my emotional and grief tools and my intuition and all the things, you know, as we kind of had that conversation a little bit that night, where I just get to, I have this really, I think, kind of cool gift that I didn't realize that I had, because it just comes by me so naturally, is that I just get to hold space for you to feel safe, and everything is okay. Everything is welcome. Tears are sacred with me. So, you know, wherever I am, tears just start to flow, and I am honored to hold that space, you know, as we saw that night.
Yeah, isn't this true? I mean, and again, Ram Dass's words are always in my head. They're always on my shoulder. We're all just here walking each other home.
Yes.
And, you know, I think in this place of grief, nobody gets out of here alive. Nobody who has lived even a centimeter into their iota of their beings will get out of here without grief. And we try to avoid it so much because it hurts like a fucker. But that's the point, is that, you know, so many people just want their kids to be happy, or they just want to be happy, or they want to find joy. But my wish always is that people would feel emotions deeply, because that is how they pass through you. And you don't know how to feel grief. You don't know how to feel rejection and process it, or trauma, whatever that looks like, unless you do it, unless somebody walks you through it. And we're all so much better, you know, with other people's emotions than we tend to be with our own. And so leaning into each other becomes like some of the most profoundly important stuff we'll do. Even just the offer of a connection, a hope, a handshake, a wave, all of those things. Huh? I love that. Now, what I'm really interested in, and I know this is the question that so many people ask, right, is that like, okay, how do you manage your days? Like, do you just see dead people floating everywhere, or do you honestly have to be like, do people ever bother you in the other world? Are you always like, listen, Henry, move it? Or like, what, tell me about those experiences, because sometimes they come to you when you don't expect it, huh? Or are there other times where you just, yeah, help me understand how that works.
At the beginning, you know, when we're budding little mediums, and this is where they find me usually, is that they can't turn it off. Right. Okay. And so, and we see it on TV a lot, where these mediums are like, oh, they go into a grocery store and so-and-so's grandmother is there and they have to give that. And it's such utter BS. Like, if I could, I would swear fully on this. It's like, it is such BS. Say,
this is the bullshit part of medium world.
it's voyeuristic, it's predatory, and no one has asked for your help. Right. And yes, we work for the spirit world, but we cannot just help ourselves to people's lives. We don't know what they're in right now. We don't know how they're going to receive it. They have to go home from wherever they're at. And it's like someone in a deli and you're telling her now she's got to finish out her shift. What if she loses her job? Like, you are responsible, right? Our biggest creed in our industry is do no harm. Mm. And leave people better than you found them, right? So we cannot then help ourselves to people's life. There is a strong ethic, I'm sure your listeners can hear in my heart, that runs through every vein in my body, that we cannot just help ourselves to people's lives. But when we're a budding medium, it's like that door is always open. We don't know how to shut it. And there's a part of us that is scared. And I see this with my little, you know, baby mediums in my development groups, is that they're so scared that if they turn it off, it'll never come back again. Oh, and that's not true. It's like pretending, you know, playing the violin, putting it down, and scared that if you pick it up again, you'll never be able to play it. I mean, it's BS. It's your gift. It's part of your soul's quality. You're not going to lose that. And so we see that with mediums, that when they have crossed that boundary and they say, I'm going to be open because for the sake of television, I have to make good, you know, good media. I'm going to keep that open and I will do the most sensational things for ratings. We start to see problems. We start to see that they can't shut it off. They can't travel on flights. They can't go to restaurants. I tell you what, if I'm having a glass of wine with you, spirit is not in my mind, because it's not something that I'm bringing my awareness to. Right. It's almost like as soon as you become aware of something, as soon as you become aware of like spirit, as soon as I open my mind to spirit, spirit's there. They know that I'm what I do, and they'll take that opportunity to come and speak. Right. As soon as I open that mind up to that. But I don't want to.
It is such a skill set that's what really impressed me about you, is that, you know, I was sort of throwing you one of the times we've talked about, like, okay, I don't know who to trust. I had this guy one time that said he was a medium, and I had this, you know, like everybody says, oh yeah, they could do. But you were so respectful of this process, because people don't sort of hold that up and not have typically some sense of connection. There is such a standard of practice of the people who do it well in this world, this industry, that you would say, you know, you train vehemently, you surround yourself with people, you practice, you understand the sacredness of this skill. And it really just, you know, made me think about my own training, or, you know, as a physician or as a electrician, like, you know, you in the beginning, you know, I'm fumble fucking my way through most things. I don't know what I'm, right? And then people would say to me, okay, here's what you're looking for, right? When you conceptualize a case, consider this, consider this, consider this. Ah, and then of course there's no replacement for practice. And I was so profoundly impacted by your discussions of, you know, staying away from, you know, your family or not staying away from your family, you know, going specifically, getting away from the noise of those life-sucking children that do not promote connection to other, I'm just kidding.
No.
But it's this idea of, yeah, I know your babies are amazing, but this idea of really practicing this art. And I just gained such a deeper respect, Chatelle, for the way that you described it, your mentors. I think that the people that you really hone yourself in on and that, you know, it is such a skill and that sometimes you will be off base in sort of trying to connect the dots for somebody. And it doesn't mean that you're off base for the thing that is supposed to be there. It's that honing your skill hasn't quite met its mark either with the relationship with that person that is in front of you or the spirit that is coming to you or your ability. Is that fair? Like, tell me about that.
So yeah, there was, is it okay if I give a little bit of the context of what we were talking about?
Yeah,
so Dr. Jodi had talked about seeing kind of just going into this kind of interesting medium psychic that had given you some things that just didn't quite resonate at all. And I was talking about all the ways that, you know, that person, like, it takes a lot of cojones, you know, to say that you're a psychic medium. Like, you can't just put your sign out there and then, like, it takes a lot for you to realize that you are, to say that you are, and then to hold your own when people come in. Because, I mean, ultimately, I love skeptics because I'm here to give you what your soul needs, not necessarily what you want. And so what will happen is you'll plant a seed for something they're not ready to receive yet. Or, you know, in the case of this gentleman that we had talked about, perhaps he didn't quite, you know, read the spirit right, or he didn't put it in the right context of the story, or he wasn't really addressing your soul need.
Or
and he
was too
base.
Skeptical. Right.
And that could be a block. Yes. Because you're like,
Felt it. I love this person. And so, I didn't obviously love this person, but in the moment I was just so like, oh, baby Aww. Doll. Okay. And so they would say something and I'd be like, yes. Or, you know, just like, yep, nope, not a fucking chance. But okay, yes, you know, because I also didn't want to make them feel bad. So I like, there's also this experience, this two-way. If you don't want to believe it's true or that truly isn't your belief, it's going to be very difficult. That's true in my business, right? Like if you want me to assist you in this process of seeing the world or healing, and you're open to it, my goodness, we get a whole lot faster than if you come in here and you're already done with your marriage. You don't really give a fuck what I say is not going to change, right?
That's
so
right.
We're good, but Jesus, we're not that fucking good.
But I think it's important, you know, as a medium and a psychic and like as a psychologist as well, or anybody who's doing anything, is if you feel that resistance right away, then I actually just address it. I feel that you're really anxious right now. I feel that you're a skeptic. Is that correct? I had a lady who came to see me. Her sister had recommended her because her sister had a great experience with me. So she came in and I didn't know who she was. I don't know who brings who or referrals or whatever. I don't have that kind of system. So she sat down at my table. This is when I was reading people in person and, you know, did her tarot cards. And I said, okay, I can feel right away that you don't believe any of this is true. And she's like, right. And I said, okay, so I'm just going to tell you exactly what I feel. I feel like you're in real estate. I feel like you're, you know, going through a massive transition right now. You're about to give up your practice and you're really, you know, kind of scared of what that's going to feel like. And she's like, yeah, that's correct. And so it became, you know, it's like a counseling session. So I said, you know, so the nervousness is because you don't have something concrete next. And she's like, right. I said, but the road will appear as you allow yourself to dream and play again. I said, you've gotten so serious, right? She's like, yes. Yes, I have. And I said, so now is the time to start to build this other bridge to something else. And it's going to come from your inner self. I can't tell you what it is, but I do know it'll come when you are allowing yourself joy and fun and play. I said, take the paint classes, take the trip to Aruba, like whatever it is, do those things. She's like, oh, I have a trip planned to Aruba. I was like, that's kind of funny. You know, that would come out of my mouth. Like, of course, I mean, it's not funny. You know, it's funny, not funny. And so at the end of it, Dr. Jodi, the end of it, she goes, well, you didn't tell me anything I didn't already know.
Oh.
And I said, but that's the key, isn't it? I didn't know any of those things, hence the word psychic. She's like, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, very much. Here you go.
Yeah.
So the other thing I just really want to say is that I think one of the things you've taught me so far in our journey together is really this idea of when you are truly connecting to another, offering your gift of mediumship or psychicship or whatever that is I love your take on the fact that, you know, sometimes people fish because they are so desperate to want to get it right, to want yes. you to do that thing that you just described your client as doing is like, yes. Yes. So, you know, you'll fish. And in an effort to do that, you'd be like, I feel like you've lost someone. Well, like, fuck 98% of people. Well, 100% of people have lost someone. And so I really love this conversation where you said to me, when I hone my skill with my gurus, my mentors, that is the number one thing we work on, right? Is do not fish. Feel it. See it. Put it together so that you can give the gift that you are called to give. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Because I just think that that's profound.
I love that you said that. And I'm just going to put a little bit of a twist on it as well, is that we are spirit's voice. It's not us that's being, you know, doing this. This isn't me on the stage, you know, performing. This is your loved one coming in to try to give you a message of love and connection and protection and hope. And I'm just the conduit. So if I don't get it right, it's not because I don't, like, I'm trying to get it right. And that can feel, that's what was one of my biggest holdbacks as a medium, was that I wanted to get it so right because I wanted to do right by spirit, not because I wanted you to think I was amazing. It was because if I don't get it right, this is going to make me cry. You might not know it's your mom, right? You might not realize that this person has come to give you this love and this message because you'll just think I suck. And I don't want to let that get in the way of this wonderful connection. And so, like, that's what spurns me on, is that I want to get this so right. You don't even see me. All you feel is your mom. All you know is that she is here because she loves you so much.
Oh my
God. Like, it moves me because it's like, that's why I do this, right? That's why I love doing that. And so when we, you know, when the skeptics will come, but the more that I can show that these things are correct and that I have no idea about you, I don't know anything about your life. I'm so busy. I don't have time to Google you. I just need to know your name, your phone number, and your email address. That's it. That's all you register to when I read for you. And everything else will come in the session as it's meant to come in. So when we, you know, are getting that right, like when we're really kind of honing in with the spirit and blending with them and becoming aware of what they're trying to, what they want to convey, their story, their story is going to be so much more potent than some password or their name or the address that they grew up. I mean, that's pretty cool information. But the fact that they bought you this teddy bear when you were little that you just gifted to your daughter because that is your memory of your mom, like, that is potent stuff that I would never know, that you couldn't Google, you can't see that on Facebook. You know, that is your story. And that's why I loved and why I had said hell yes to being on this podcast, because your story is what matters. And it matters even with spirit. Their story is what matters. Their story is, it's going to be their legacy, as is yours.
Oh right? My gosh, I love that. And I'm going to end with one story as we wrap up here, because it's so funny, not funny. We were talking the first night we met about kids' abilities to see intuitively other things in spirit and just to be very present, because there's not a lot of things that have clouded them. And so most kids, as you said, or maybe all kids, sort of have this experience. And I just thought instantly about the baby that we lost between Asher and our twins. And when Asher was three, we had just had the twins. We'd moved into a new house. And I just shared with you, you know, I was thinking about this because another woman was speaking about an experience she had with her son. And I was like, oh my gosh, I remember him saying to me more than once, you know, there's a little boy outside my window. And his window, it was higher, like there's no way that somebody could have stood and looked in, you know. And so I just said to him, you know, sometimes I said to you, sometimes I wonder about that, you know, just, you know, when kids say those things, they see things on the wall, or, you know, you notice them smiling and, you know, stuff like that. It always just sort of gives me the chills and makes me wonder about that. And you just ask my permission to tell me something. And then you said to me that the baby that I lost was a boy. And we had a bit of a conversation about it. And I have to tell you, everybody, like, I felt that in my bones. And we've always celebrated this tiny human. There's a Christmas tree ornament that we put on the tree every year. The kids ask about them, about him, and they always wanted to know. And I didn't know it was a him, so I say them, just sort of out of my mouth. But, you know, they always are like, well, why didn't, can we get one? Can we get another one? And I'm like, the ship has sailed, bitches, like, hold on.
And so, factory's closed.
Oh my. But you just saying that, and you just sort of saying in that moment, you were just very clear and quiet and calm with me. And you just said, he's here. And you said a couple of other things, and I felt it in my bones, and it wasn't an overwhelming, like, I'm going to drop to my knees. It was such a sense of comfort. And right after that, I went to the washroom, in our little cabin there, and I just had a bit of a conversation with him and just, you know, welcomed him and was just so grateful that he was here and that I intuitively now knew that, you know, he's been with our family. And it was just such a cool thing. And I think about him a few times, but it's not, you know, anything that I was just rocked to the core with. It just fits. And I just think, what a gift you are to people. What a gift you are to use your energy and your gift. And I remember I said to you, does this make you tired? It must be, because I imagine me doing therapy some days where I just, at the end of the day, and you just said, oh, no, like, this energizes me. Being able to be the voice of spirit is of such a high calling. And I can see it in you and feel it in you. And I'm so, so grateful that our paths cross, that this community gets to know you and hear you. Where's the best place for them to find you? Because I'm going to put it all in the notes, but where do they find you?
Oh, I'm always very present on social media. I love connecting with people. So She Tells Story, I know on Instagram is my handle. That's easiest. Or if you're on Facebook, I'm Story of Spirit. They wouldn't let me change my name back to She Tells Story on my business page. But yeah, Instagram, I'm very present. I'm always publishing stories and talking about my experiences and meeting people. I am such an extrovert by nature, which is also very unusual for someone who's an empath and an intuitive, but I love meeting people and hearing their stories and supporting you and helping validate, you know, the things that you're already feeling, like, you know, exactly that. I love that story. So, I mean, I didn't realize the other side of that because I only saw my side of it where you brought it up and I'm like, may I share with you? And I think that, yeah, if people want to connect with me, Instagram's the best way, or they can find me on my my website, shetellstory.com. I do book out like quite a few months in advance, but I
she does. I have asked many times. So if you're interested, but just know that you have people like Chitel in our world. And if that's something that is interesting to you, I mean, I just think any resource that we need and have, yes, and want in this world to make us believe that, you know, we are not alone in this journey is something that I think in this very disconnected space is what we need now more than ever. So thank you, amazing soul. Yes, tell me.
Kim, one more thing, and I really want to leave your listeners with this, is have a high standard for psychics and mediums, right? Psychics connect to you and your spirit and tell you what's happening for you and give you possibilities for what's happening ahead. Mediums connect to spirit and be, you know, the voice for spirit. And no one's allowed to give you any advice. The spirit won't give you advice. The medium doesn't give you advice. You have free will to do what you feel is right for you. If a medium's telling you what to do, that comes with karmic ties. That medium is now tied to your story. So I would say just be really leery, you know, have a high standard. You know, this, I have a mother figure present in spirit. No, do you have my mother? Do you have my grandmother? Tell me, right? Be specific, be terrific. And so have a high standard for yourself. And, you know, there's a lot of people praying, especially through social media and through emails and through spam messages, where they're preying on this, you know, hurt and grief of people, where they'll say you have the evil eye or somebody wants to see you die or you have this curse. Do not listen to them. Number one, they are not ethical. Why are they even looking anyways? You haven't invited them. And please, please, please just delete or report them or both. Because they are not of integrity and they do not have your best interests at heart. Go with someone who is trained, who's a professional. And there are people like me out there. And if you want referrals because you can't fit into my schedule, I will send you referrals to people I trust. I have an overflow network. I do not get money from anyone I refer to. That is not, I am so of integrity. I don't want that. I want you to really have the experience that's divinely destined for you. So just have a high standard for what you will accept as truth.
Oh, Sheetal, you are a gift to the universe and to me and to Marty. And we are just so grateful you're in our lives and our paths and that you're going to be helping us direct this mission. So thank you. Take care of
you. I love you so much. Thank you.
Everybody, I cannot wait to see you again here next week. Share this, like it, re-listen 100,000 times because this is how we change the world, you and me, one step at a time. The Everyone Comes From Somewhere podcast is produced by the incredibly talented and handsome team at Snack Labs, Mr. Brian Seaver, Mr. Taylor McGilvery, and the infamous Jeremy Saunders. The soundtracks that you hear at the beginning of every episode were created by Donovan Morgan. Our executive producer is Marty Piller. Our PR big shooters are Des Vino and Barry Cohen. Our agent, my manager, Jeff Lonis from the Talent Bureau. And emotional support, of course, is provided by, relatively speaking, our children. For the record, I am a registered clinical psychologist in Alberta, Canada. The content created and produced in this show is not intended as specific therapeutic advice. The intention of this podcast is to provide information, resources, education, and maybe even a little bit of hope.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.